You please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I suspect many of you may remember an ad running on TV about 35 or 40 years ago in which an elderly person fell on the floor and said, "Help, I can't get up." Now, some of you seem to know that ad, but I'm not going to be talking about it or making fun of anybody in that. I have a different feeling about that ad today than I did back in 1987 when it first ran. But this idea of falling and not being able to get up is something that we live with as Christians. All throughout our faith, there's this notion of original sin, which is not in the Bible. That was the handiwork of St. Augustine, great North African theologian who lived in the late 4th century and early 5th century. And frankly, that is a Manichaean theology that worked its way into his writings. But what does that have to do with us? I am not going to give you a sermon about that ad today, and I'm not going to give you a sermon about adultery. So if you are cheating on your spouse, I am not going to say that is okay, but I'm not going to talk about that. The church does not approve of that. But would you expect me to talk about that? Would you expect me to wave my finger and tell you you're bad and you're wrong? Would you expect me to tell you that you are a sinner and you are evil and you are not good? Well, that seems to be the belief of the larger society. And I'll give you two little anecdotal pieces of evidence. One was in this morning's New York Times crossword puzzle. And the clue was a three-letter word: sermon topic. The answer? Sin. And then to go a little bit more down market, yesterday I went to buy the Wall Street Journal at Jake's Market, and I saw the New York Post, and the headline was Biblical Murder. Now, this was an awful crime that was committed on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and there's nothing good to say about it, but the police officer who filed the report had thought of it as being a biblical murder. Why? Why would somebody do that? Well, they carry around stereotypes and images they picked up as a young person. They know that the Bible is filled with violence. Really? Yes, there are wars in the Bible. But that is not what the Bible is about. Today's passage is not some foretelling of what's going to happen with Jesus. But it is important to understand the Christian faith. You may remember that there are lineages for Jesus provided at the beginnings of Matthew and Luke. And Jesus is reputed to be a descendant of David. Ah, David was the great king of Israel. David was the man who defeated Israel's enemies. David was a psalmist, according to tradition. David was good looking. David had it all going for him. But, and yes, you knew there was a but coming, but David started life as a farm boy, as the youngest of the farm boys in his family. And somehow, God chose him. And David was taken from the fields and put at the head of Israel. And so here he is, the mighty king, not behaving like a mighty king. So yes, the season was the time when the armies went out and warred with one another. And David, as a warrior king, should have been at the head of battle. But instead, he was back in Jerusalem, enjoying some executive time, taking a nap, giving meaning to that old adage that idle time is a devil's playground. So yes, David had nothing better to do. Took a walk up on top of the building, the palace, and he looked around, and he happened to see a pretty woman taking a bath. And what did he do? Well, the story is really clear about that. David started scheming. And David had this woman brought to the palace, and he prevailed upon her to have sex with him. Now, this could have been a classic Me Too moment. People would describe this in current parlance as being sexual assault and abuse of power. But whatever lingo you want to use to describe what David did, it was wrong. But it gets worse. Because Bathsheba realizes she is now pregnant. And what is she going to do? We have no idea as to what she was thinking. But she let David know. And here is where David gets too clever and outsmarts himself. He thinks that he's going to find a way to make the child look like Uriah's. And Uriah and the armies come back home, and he tells Uriah to go be with his wife and enjoy his house. And what does Uriah do? He protests. You'll remember last week's reading from the Hebrew Bible. David wanted to build the temple for God. And he wasn't allowed to. And Uriah here is thinking the same thing. Why should I have a house when God doesn't have a house? So Uriah is trying to do the right thing. And David does what? He conspires to have Uriah murdered. Now, yes, he doesn't send an assassin out to kill the man. He wants to make it all clean and neat. No fuss, no muss. And so he arranges to have the army expose Uriah out in the field. And guess what happens? Uriah dies. If there is a message here for us to take away, do not betray your colleagues. Do not betray your friends, because you are not going to get away with it. That is an important lesson. All of us face temptations. Do we give in to them? Do we yield to what we want? Now, I am not saying that anybody here has been put in a situation where he or she would want to off a colleague. But not all temptation needs to be as gross and as huge as the one placed before David. And David is not written off by God. David gets to stay king of Israel. David is going to rule wisely for many years to come. And I trust that many of you learned about David in Sunday school long ago. I'm not seeing any heads nodding. Okay. Did your Sunday school teacher tell you that David was a murderous adulterer?
No.
No. They told you about David being the great warrior who was able to defeat Goliath. David was the faithful psalmist. And as if this were written for the modern Hollywood environment we live in, David was a good-looking man. God worked with what he had. Now, the coda to this sermon is going to be next week, when David is confronted with what he has done. And David responds. And you'll need to be here next week to hear that sermon. But I will tell you that you can read next week's lectionary reading in the Bible. It just follows on from today's lesson. But think about David and how flawed he was. And think about how important he was in the stories that the Hebrew Bible tells us that the Christians adopted as their own. David was seen as being so important that he was an ancestor of Jesus. That the covenant that God made with the house of David endured. And if you look at Jesus' lineage, it's not all roses and sunlight. There are some checkered characters in his background. And God works through them and with them and gives them value. So there's Rahab, this woman of questionable character who is willing to help the Israelites. And she is a good woman. There's Ruth. We all know about Ruth. She's got her own book in the Bible. She is not a Jew. She was an alien, to use today's language. She was from another people. And yet she was faithful to the God of Israel. And these stories are told over and over and over again, right down to our present day. Now, this is not to say that you should look around and find people who are flawed and think that they are somehow the instruments of the Lord. Some people just stink. But, those people, just like us, all have value. Nobody is so broken that God cannot use them. There is no tool that is so flawed that God cannot find a way to work through it. That tool might be you. That tool might be me. And so we are going to ponder this question of repentance next week, when we're going to get the answer to today's question. I've fallen. Can I get up? I'll tell you now, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, but we can't do it alone. And now I am not going to preach next week's sermon. But hopefully I piqued your curiosity and we'll return to this passage next week. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of anticipation, for the opportunity to study your word and to learn what it might be saying to us. Help us to draw the correct lessons. Help us to be good and faithful people in all we do, wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.